right, we're joined in the media center by Funny Car number one qualifier Ron Capps, who stayed number one thanks to his run from 386.5 from last night. Third number one qualifier of the year, I think maybe more importantly, was the run you put down earlier today, the 393 in the middle of the heat. Certainly a great run. Talk about how good you guys feel heading into racing tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I feel better. I had a whole view of the AAA car that run, so I thought, oh, they're going to smash that. But, you know, that run today, like you said, that was in the heat, was a big deal. But, I mean, 15 cars here, and everybody knows it, so the number one position is more important than ever because you know you're going to have a button. So, you know, it seems a lot of them went out there and pushed a little too hard and didn't make it down. But, I mean, we're in staging lanes. You know, they started Funny Car, and these dark clouds started rolling in. And it's an hour earlier than last night, so I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I heard Guido get back in the box again twice. And then once I was in the car, he got in there twice to start adjusting. So I knew. I heard him say something about top fuel. I think Torrance's run he brought up, so he knew it was going to be – conditions were there. And we got Jimmy Prock next to us. So it was kind of fun to be drivers in that position. But we're Robert's car, consistent. And missed it by a thou again, thankfully for us. But great job by our guys, especially today. That heat was, you know, not a lot of cars went down. I think one other Funny Car. So that was the run that was going to be key. It will be a little warmer tomorrow, so we'll take it.
How fine was the line of making it and not making it? How close was that?
Last night or today?
Today.
Today, that right lane's got a lot of, I'll call them undulations, not necessarily bumps.
But how do you spell that?
Good question. Undulation. And Robert actually came over to me at the top of the track when he got out of his car, and he said, man, because we run three qualifying runs, so you get two in one lane and you get one in the other lane. And he came over right away and said, man, that right lane is bumpy. So that was his first lap down that lane. He'd been in the left lane. So to go down and run that 93 in the heat on that track that was that's got, and you know, it's got characters. Not necessarily, I'm not ripping on that lane. It surely changes things, and it will tomorrow, being hotter. Any bumps, undulations, whatever you want to call them, they rear their ugly heads much worse when it's going to be 88 degrees tomorrow out, and who knows what the track temp will be. It'll be 120 plus for sure. So typical Houston Baytown. You know, this is what this race is all about. Every time I've won here, you literally feel like you have raced two or three races in one day. It just, it takes everything out of here. I've never been so exhausted after a win when you win here. I think it's the heat, the humidity. It's just a dogfight. I mean, you really feel like you've done something special when you win here every time. So that's going to be conditions tomorrow. Same thing. It's just, why change, right? It's the last race we're going to be here, and I think it's... it's kind of cool that we're going to have those conditions.
Richard, you ran good last night. You've been running all year. Last year, been running, hit some spectacular numbers and stuff. But you had two runs today. You collected plenty of data. How confident are you guys in how many rounds you go?
Richard, I said last night, you got it. We are. I brag about the Napa know-how, and I brag about all that. But the confidence I have, and any driver will tell you the same thing, when you've got a car like that, and you've got a team that's just clicking, and, you know, obviously we have, you know, things are going to eventually not be as good when we start off, and we're going to have to work a little harder. I'm sure you get thrown these things all the time. So I am confident, but it also, as a driver, and I think probably you get the same answer out of most of these Nitro drivers, if you feel like you've got such a great car, it almost puts more pressure on you as a driver not to mess up, not to do something wrong. And it's counteractive. A lot of times throughout my career, I've seen that when you have a great car, you almost mentally, without trying, you don't want to mess up so much that you don't get up there and drive it like you stole it, so to speak. In which you have to drive these things no matter what, every time, or you will get loaded up on the trailer. So it's a fine line to get up there and drive like you normally do, as if you're qualified 16th. And not feel relaxed when you've got a car that's running good and number one and vice, you know, all that. So to answer your question, you feel a confidence, you don't want to brag about it, but you quietly want to go about it and just, you know, you can only sneak under the radar so long before people go, you're not on the radar anymore. So it's fun to run with all these really good cars right now.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one to mess up.
I do not, and thanks for bringing that up.
So you guys, So you talked about Jimmy Prok and Robert. It kind of seems like you two are the ones battling it out right now. Would you say that they're your biggest threat for tomorrow? Or
no, yeah, I mean, right now, yeah, based off the conditions. And I didn't see who ran what. I think Chad Green actually went the next quickest during the heat today. And obviously, it's a Tim Wilkerson car, so it doesn't make, you know, that, I believe it. So, but listen, we've seen J.R. Todd, Dell Worsham, those kind of cars pop up and just figure out what's going on. The cool thing about the sport is you don't often know unless you're let in somehow, social media or something, what's going on inside the ropes, right? You don't necessarily know, and maybe somebody might not say. It's like the Houston Rockets or the baseball team. They may not say their star has got a little injury because they don't want them to get picked on, or football team, right? So you don't want to show any weakness. And a lot of times people are battling little things, trying to find something or something that's going to hold them back. And so right now we haven't had that thrown at us a lot. It's been really good. But you never know when a Dickie Venables finds what's going on and figures it out. And just, we've seen that so many times throughout last year and really over everybody's career here. So right now that Prok car is pretty good. And but you can't discount anybody. When you start naming names, I always feel weird because I know I left somebody out. Somebody's going to go, well, why not me? Why'd you leave my name out? So John Force, obviously you can't count him out either. So it's Houston. You never know. Sundays here in Houston have always typically been bizarro. So that's why I think it just feels like you've done so much more on a Sunday when you win here.
Chris,
Ron, 3 weeks since the win in Las Vegas, first win for you as both an owner and a driver. Now you got your third number one qualifier. Do you feel like this team is ready just to rip off a string of 3 or 4 wins in a row?
Well, that'd be nice. We're capable, but so is, you know, Robert Wright's car, as we've seen. Robert went on a little streak a few races ago, won 2 in a row, and we thought, oh man, here we go. Several years ago, we won 5 in a row, and so those are always fun. And you shake your head, and you hit the parachutes, and you literally shake your head like, this is going so awesome. You just sometimes you can't believe how awesome it's going. It doesn't surprise me with our team because it is the same team last year that we won the championship. We ran so well. But like I said, this is a weird part of the season where you're going to see all of a sudden some cars that you thought were struggling and they're just going to get hot. So you just got to be ready for it. And but I do feel pretty comfortable and pretty confident in our car. It's obviously been a lot of fun as a driver to strap in and drop the body and to know that your car is pretty much going to go down the track. It's a great feeling.
Okay, so you know I'm a rookie, so I got a rookie question. How much can you adjust in 3.5 seconds going down the track?
I can't. And they literally can't on the car. And that's a great question. It's asked a lot by fans. It's not like Formula One where it's monitored during a run by a crew chief. They actually have to wait until the car comes back, upload the data, put it on their computer, and then the next run, they have to load what they think is going to work for the next one in that same little chip. So they literally can't monitor anything. Me as a driver, if you saw how prehistoric really these things are in comparison to like F1 or some other things, I have a huge gas pedal, I've got a handbrake, and I got a big old clutch pedal, and I have a fuel lever, and I have no gauges. They don't give me nothing, right? Because they don't want us to do anything. So we literally, when that light comes down, you mash that gas pedal, you let go of the handbrake, and you hang on, first of all. But that little steering wheel, you're just holding on, trying to keep it from flying all over the place. And that's it. And there's a button on the steering wheel I hit with my thumb for the parachutes. And I do that about 2 football fields before the finish line. So and all that's going on, it's like Battlestar Galactica. You can't see anything but exactly where you look. And it's like space travel. So to answer your question, I can't do anything, nor can they. They can only set up with an educated guest beforehand and then take that data and apply it. And that's why it's important to hear them talk about data and runs and not smoking the tires, because today, in fact, to answer your question, Guido was looking back at a run 2 years ago in like Bristol, Tennessee, because conditions were kind of lined up the same. That track's a little bit bumpy. There were a lot of things that were the same, and believe it or not, he loaded something like that run into this car for here. So that's what's important about that kind of data in the past. Yep.
Our last question.
Yep. Yeah, Ron, I runner up last year to Robert, runner up the year before, semis the year before. You ripped off a couple of wins.
this is the last one, right? Like, getting a win in a place like this, in a situation like this, a run against Robert like that, what I'm trying to get you to talk about is, like, getting close doesn't matter. You got to win these races. And it's just so hard. So when you got to slug it out against Jimmy Prock, Chris Cunningham, you got your guys. They're at the best they've ever been right now. They're, like, totally gelled. This race tomorrow, how are you going to get it?
But the cool thing is we have a bye, and I don't know the last time we had a bye like that. It is extremely cool to go to bed tonight knowing that you have that first round. Everybody's going to sleep way better knowing that we can go up there and we can really test the track. Yeah, we're going to go for lane choice, but we don't have the pressure of having somebody, because look at the past, and we've been bit by a number 16 part-time car that showed up when we were number one, and it happened. So to that point, it's huge. I loved rolling up there last pair next to Robert Hyde. Their car rolls up, like, just rolls up to the water box just ahead of me, and I'm like, okay, this is Jimmy Prock. You know, it gave me chills like a fan, like, oh, that car's gonna throw down. I'm like, oh, I'm the car next to it. This car is gonna throw down, right? Like, I felt like a fan for a minute, because I know what the fans are thinking in the grandstands. Last pair of funny cars, number one, number two right now. Number two has very, very capable of going to the number one and beyond, right? So, but also, so was our car. So I knew that was cool for the fans, and I became sort of a fan for a second when we rolled up there, and it's just clouds are coming over. It was like a video game. It was just a cool moment to be a part of. You know, you do the burnout, you back up, and it feels like a heightened final round moment. It always does racing those guys, but that part is probably the best. Knowing you have a car that you can go up there, and we're gonna, you or Reinhardt are not just going to talk about Jimmy Prock. You're going to talk about what this car can do in the left lane, and that's the Napa guys. So that's what makes it fun right now. And the Vegas win, yeah, we had Hagen, we had Prock, and we had Lexus. And Brian Lones was talking a lot about those other two cars, and I got to give him crap because he hardly talked about us. And then we won. He said, "Oh, there's that car over there. Ron Capps won." So they were looking, and I would have probably too, because they were throwing down, but so did we. We were a number one qualifier. So a lot of times you get a little mad that maybe people, you know, like the media or the announcers or the TV people, don't necessarily look at it that way. And it's almost funner when you do that. So I know they had Robert put a cylinder out that run. It doesn't matter, right? Things happen, and we got the trophy. And we got the heck out of there before they changed their minds. But seriously, that's just, those are those moments where it doesn't matter. You did the job, you got the win, and for us it was very special. But you take it, and as soon as we got on the grounds here, everybody in the funny car pit area forgot who won Vegas, I guarantee it, including us. You just forget, because now you're here, it doesn't matter what happened 2 weeks ago. It really doesn't matter, because now we're here, especially they're tired of 2 weeks of my social media postings, I'm sure, of the win, right? You know, I get the same way as somebody else. You know, you're just like, enough. Like, I don't want to, let's get to the next track. So I get it, and that's what makes it cool. So here's the point, Joe. The moral of the story is, if you can win, win when there's a two-week break afterwards.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. Congrats.